Ms. Creed?
It's a multi thing flashlight. I have some problems that I'm not using.
Yeah, I know.
It's a taser.
It's not a taser.
It's not a taser. So guys, afterwards, and all the men can go out there. There's some donuts and coffee out there, in the fellowship hall. So we appreciate you guys being here. Thank you for being here and being faithful, and raising your family. Amen. Amen. Well, let's take our Bibles and turn to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. Let's stand. Let's look at this scripture for a minute, and we'll pray. See what God has for us. Judges chapter 6. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them unto the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was, when Israel had sown, the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. They encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents. They came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and I brought you forth from out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God, fear not the God, small g, of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash, the Abizite. And the son Gideon threshed, wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. I want to speak to you on the subject, where are the mighty men of valor? Where are the mighty men of valor? Let's pray. Brother Walter, pray for me as I preach, would you?
Heavenly Father, thank you this morning, dear Father. I pray that, dear Father, you hold back all distractions and anything that distracts us from listening to this message that we're about to hear, dear Father. Fill our path with the Holy Spirit to listen to us. In this holy precious name, I pray. Amen.
You may be seated. The Midianites are mentioned here in this chapter, and they are mentioned also, if you want to write it down, in chapter 25 of Genesis, verses 2 through 6. And Genesis 36, 12 mentions the Amalekites. These were people that were not friends of Israel. But Israel is in bondage. And notice in verse 1, they were in bondage because of sin. And there is no substitute for obedience. We need to understand that. There is no substitute for obeying God. They hid in the caves. Can you imagine this? God's chosen people are hiding from the enemies in caves. Could you imagine living in a cave? And unbelievable difficulty they faced. And they hid in a cave. They finally cried out to God. 7 years they've been troubled. What was happening? What was happening was the Midianites, the Amalekites, and the others were coming in, and they weren't hurting the people, but when they would grow crops, they wait till they grow and they tear them down. They would take their animals. They made it hard on them. It said, no, notice what it says there. It says they could not get any sustenance. No sustenance. And so God allowed them to come in bondage for their sin. Then God sends a preacher. And the preacher says, God wants me to tell you something. By the way, that's what I'm doing. I'm here because God wants me to tell you something this morning.
Amen.
He said, I brought you out of Egypt. He said, I protected you. I've provided for you. I'm God, not the gods of Midian. And the angel of the Lord comes to Gideon in verse 11. Theophany, I believe it was literally the Lord Jesus, the pre-incarnate
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen. That's right.
Gideon was threshing wheat at the wine press. That's not where you were supposed to thresh wheat. But Gideon was doing what he could at the risk of being killed. He was doing what he could to provide for his fellow man. He was busy helping. And then you notice, if you'll notice there, it says the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in verse 12, and Gideon said unto him in verse 13, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why is this befallen us? You say, what is Gideon saying? Here's what Gideon's saying. Listen to me, Christian. He says, I'm mad at God. And a lot of us get mad at God.
Yeah.
You say, wait a minute, preacher, I'm a Christian. Well, that doesn't exempt you. We get mad at God for stuff. We get mad at God for things that were done way back when that we've already passed through and we just haven't let it go. Gideon says, why are we in this trouble if God's for us? And then notice, he built an altar. God told him to build an altar. He said, I want you to make a cake. I want you to get this broth and I want you to build an altar. Or I want you to put this on a stone and the fire comes up. The fire comes up and bakes the cake. And then Gideon built an altar. He built an altar. And I want you to notice what he says in verse 23 to Gideon. He built an altar and God says to him, thou shalt not die. He says, you're not going to die. Now he's thinking about his life being threatened with the enemy, Midian. But wait a minute. The next day he goes and he tears down the woods and he tears down the altars of Baal and his own fellow countrymen want to kill him. See? Joash speaks up and says, hey, listen, if Baal's God, he wouldn't have let Gideon take these things down. Gideon was not a popular man, and just to do right and to be right and be a mighty man of valor, men, does not mean we're always going to be the most popular person around the church or around our home or around the job. You can say amen right there if you want to. I want you to notice he puts a fleece out. Now, I've heard people, Brother Joe, say, you know, Brother Pastor, I'm praying about this thing, and I put a fleece out to God. Nowhere in the Scripture does it say we're supposed to put a fleece out.
Amen.
You say, what was Gideon doing? He was showing his weakness, his mistrust of God. And we do the same thing. God, are you sure you want me to do this? Are you sure you want me to do this? Are you sure? Yes. The word yes is every time, right? You're like Marissa. She wanted coffee this morning. Darian said, you want a coffee? Yes. You sure you want a coffee? Yes. This morning, yes. They got her coffee. Listen, God is merciful in that He doesn't write us off. He comes down to where we are to take us to where we need to be. You understand that? Our misunderstanding, our anxiety, we've been studying that. Our mistrust of God. God doesn't write us off. He reaches down, pulls us up. And so He indulges Gideon. And in chapter 7, God uses Gideon to lead the children of Israel. And God does a great work. And they defeat the Midianites. Where are the mighty men of valor? We've moved from God in our country. Things are not going in the way our country should be going, and there's a lot of defiance to the Almighty God. I've never seen so many bloodthirsty people fighting for abortion. Murders. I'm going to say this. Everybody that's involved in an abortion is an accessory to murder.
Amen. That's right. It is.
Judgment Day is going to be a long day. There are people out there, if you look, that have had abortions that God has saved and God is using. There are people who have been in those abortion clinics. Let me tell you something. A dead baby doesn't try to avoid something that comes into the mother's womb to destroy it.
Right, exactly.
Now I'm not going to put pictures up on these screens in church, but you folks have seen pictures.
Yes.
And let me just tell you something. It's barbaric.
Right.
It's barbaric. It's wicked.
Right.
And we need to pray that God holds off His judgment for us to get the people, win them to Christ.
Amen. That's right.
People, pregnancy clinics, people bombing pregnant. It's a hateful thing. I read something this morning where five men on NBC are telling how abortion has made them the men they are. We are messed up.
We are.
Like a bug crawled in their ear and messed their brain up. We're in a place where premarital sex is okay. Children born out of wedlock, and it's not right. There's drugs, there's alcohol. There's attack on our children. Our children are being molested. They're being mistreated. Now we got transvestites going in. We all seen that?
Preach it, brother. Amen.
Transvestites going in and dressing the kids up like that.
Right.
We got kids coming to this church and not knowing whether they're a girl or a boy.
Preach it, brother. Amen.
We've got, I don't know what it is. It's a man dressed up like a woman. What position that our administration has put them in? Y'all know, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Y'all understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
We just had a Supreme Court justice appointed to the court that doesn't know whether she's a woman or a man.
Right.
Now she does, but she's a coward. Some of you men ought to say amen.
Amen.
Or turn your man card in at the door.
Richard.
You know, it's past time that we should stand up. It's the things that are happening are not okay, and we should have something to say about it. As men. As mighty men of valor.
Amen.
Listen, I'm going to read you a couple excerpts. I'm not done yet. Preaching to a Dying Nation book I'm reading. Europe has been called the post-Christian. America is in an even worse situation. We are post-evangelical. You know what that's saying? We're past reaching. This means we are moving into a time after the majority of our people claim to be born again, with only a memory of decisionism and a very few who are truly Christians. American culture is post-evangelical. Billy Graham and a century of Finney-like preachers before him have gotten nearly all of these pagans to make decisions. Now these Christian barbarians are coming to destroy our homes and our nation. This collapse of a culture heading says here, while looking through my boy's seventh grade literature book the other day, I was surprised to find the poem I remembered from my own childhood. Breathes there a man with soul so dead who never himself has said, this is my own, my native land, Sir Walter Scott. Television newspaper commentator Patrick Buchanan, he's a Roman Catholic. He's wrong on his religion, but he's correct when he points out that our culture is collapsing. Listen to what this says. America has ceased to be a moral community. We do not agree whether God exists, whether there is a higher moral law, whether abortion is killing a child, whether gay is good, whether drugs should be a matter of choice. And the country ceases to be moral community will eventually cease to be a country. This is the rule more than the exception of Aberdeen Township. A woman attending her high school prom gave birth in a restroom, left the baby in a trash can, and returned to the dance floor with her boyfriend, authorities said. We're in trouble. We've been in trouble. The sad thing is this, that we're losing our families. We're losing our families. You got to start now, Daniel. Can't lose your family. You got to start now, Darian. Can't lose your family.
Amen.
We lose our family to the next best thing coming down the pike. We lose them to things that divide us. Let me tell you something. This book does not divide us. This unites us with Christ. You say, preacher, you just don't understand. There's a big difference between you and me. If you're talking about the color of your skin, that's a lie.
Amen.
Big time.
We're all created in the image of God.
Amen.
Say, preacher, what color are we going to be when we get to heaven? Probably purple. You think? What? I don't know. I don't know. We're going to be in heaven.
Amen.
It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter to me. And we look at each other, and we see a person, oh, they're old, or they're young, or they're from Japan, or they're from China. You know, we are all created in the image of God. We all have a soul that's going to spend eternity somewhere.
That's right.
Amen.
The greatest thing, money doesn't unify. Excusing sin does not unify. Only God can put us back together. And it begins with us men. It does. Men must stand up and be counted. Let me tell you something. Men of this church, folks, fellas, we need to get some fire under our feet and start leading the way we should in this place, in our homes. Say amen right there if you
amen.
Want to.
Amen.
Let me give you three things to think about today. Number one, God uses those who are already busy. Gideon was threshing. He probably had a couple lookouts. I don't know what he's doing, man. But, you know, wine press is not tooled. I guess he would have to retool the wine press, Joe. I don't know. I haven't researched the wine press. But I know it pressed those grapes pretty tight, you know. I imagine he had to adjust it. But he was trying to get wheat flour to feed people. He was busy doing something. Don't think that you as a man or you as a Christian are going to sit on your blessed assurance and one day God's going to come by and says, I'm calling you to do this.
No, we need to get
busy. We need to stay busy now.
Amen.
God used Gideon. He could have used anybody. He came to Gideon. And he didn't say, hey, Gideon, just want to see if you want to, I got a help wanted sign down here, see if I want. No, he said, thou mighty man of valor. Now, God wasn't saying he was a mighty man of valor because he was a mighty man of valor. God was saying he was a mighty man of valor because he was going to be God-backed.
Amen.
Huh? Used to our money used to be gold-backed.
Right.
Not worth the money it's printed, not worth the paper it's printed on. God uses people that are doing something now. What are you doing? Are you serving God? Are you leading your family? Are you in the Word? Are you in church? Listen. You say, preacher, I don't know where to start. Well, start somewhere. Start somewhere. Start somewhere. Number two. God uses the imperfect, but obedient. There's not a perfect person here. You heard about the person looking, he said, I'm looking for the perfect church preacher. He said, don't join it, because it'll be imperfect. There's no perfect people. There's no perfect people. There are not. Gideon was imperfect. We see it in his life. But God used him because he said, I'm poor. He said, get some flesh and cakes. Come on. So what was God doing? He's microwaving them for him. Put them on a stone microwave, amen? Fire came up, took it up. He said, I want you to tear down the altars and build another altar. He says, let me just get under your skin a little bit. You need to go home and tear down some altars in your house. And tear down some altars in our churches. Tradition is killing churches.
Right.
God says, tear them down. They called him a different name. Zerubbabel. Said, he rubbed out Baal. Amen. Joash says, you're going to kill him? If Baal was a god, he would have taken care of him. We see Gideon was willing to lead. He puts the fleece out. So I'm just double checking with you, God. Don't be hard on somebody like that.
Amen.
God didn't discount Thomas when he doubted.
Amen.
Gideon. Verse 14 and following, he spoke with God. God spoke to him. In verse 34, the Bible says the Spirit of God comes upon him, and he blew the trumpet. And the people, that was a rallying point. He blew the trumpet. And then in chapter 7, the Bible says in verse 21, chapter 7, verse 21, it says every man stood in his place. You ought to underline that. Every man stood in his place. We need men that are going to stand in their place.
Amen.
We need men that are going to be the men they need to be and stand in the place. There's some times, let me tell you something. We have children We have children, we have young people that are coming to our churches, and when they get old, they're going to churches that don't use the same Bible. They don't preach the same word. They don't follow the same principles of God. Let me tell you, there's a difference. The end of that road, these neo-Baptists and neo-evangelicals, the end of that road is not good.
Exactly, brother.
The end of that road is not good. Listen, there's nothing wrong with telling your adult children that they're wrong. Right? You ask my kids and they grow up. They've heard this more than once. My house, my rules. If you don't like it, hit the road, Jack. I won't finish it. I can't sing today. Gideon was imperfect. But God says, I'm going to use you. And then I want you to notice, last of all, God uses those who submit to him. You see, the whole key, the transition from God's cursing to God's blessing is to be obedient. You folks that work with those Master Club kids, you know when they're being obedient, but they're not submissive. Right? But when you have that child of God that is not only obedient, but submissive, that's when God can do something. See, submissive is not only obedient, but submissive doesn't ask questions, it just follows orders. We would do well to look at that. God, I'm going to give you what I got, Gideon says, and he says, okay. He says, we're marching. He says, you've got too many people. What? Well, I'll just ask them if they're afraid. Okay. Hey, if you're afraid, don't want to do this, you can go home. 22,000. Whoa. Gideon says, okay, this is getting serious. See, we got a little bit more. Okay, you got too many. Okay, God, you're in charge. I'm just not seeing it, but you're in charge. Says the one that's lapped with dogs, like dogs, what do you do with them? Send them home. He wasn't counting the ones that were heading out. If you lapped like a dog, go on home. God, you need to write me a prescription. I need some medication, man. What are you doing to me? See, he told Gideon, he said, listen, I want everybody to know that this is my fight, not yours. By the way, we can't fight Capitol Hill, we can't fight the public schools, we can't fight the wicked people in our county, in our state, in our country. We can't fight them. But we can turn God loose on them. And God will win the battle. But God's not going to win the battle until he wins the battle with us. See, we want to use what we want to use. We think our talent, our personality, our bank account, our degrees, our reputation. God says, Gideon, give him a pitcher and a candle and a trumpet. Okay. I haven't trained on those weapons. I mean, these guys they carry spears. These guys carry double-edged swords. When they went to battle, somebody's head was coming off. What are we going to do with the picture? It's not what you're going to do with it, it's what I'm going to do with it. See, our weapons are not carnal. God can use what he wants, when he wants, how he wants to defeat whatever. You heard about the guy that the burglar slipping into the house one night. Came in through the window, took a couple steps, opened a drawer, heard over in the corner, God is watching you. Didn't pay much attention, went over. Got in a little other drawer. He says, or God is watching you. Turned around. It was a parakeet, a parrot on a stick in a cage. Says, shut up, parrot. He heard this growl, turned his Doberman tip pitcher. The parrot said, sick him, God. And I feel that God should sick some of us as men. We are the leaders. We're going to be held responsible. Ladies, this is also to you too. We need ladies that'll stand up. And the instruments of our war is the Bible, the Holy Spirit, love, humility, sound mind. Where are the mighty men of valor? Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. No one looking around. You say, preacher, if I die today, I know for sure I'd go to heaven. Christ is my Savior. Heaven is my home. Would you slip your hand up? God bless you. And put them down. You say, preacher, I'm here. I'm not saved. But I need to be. Would you pray for me? Now I'm speaking to men. You say, preacher, God spoke to my heart. God spoke to my heart today. Would you slip your hand up? Just let me pray for you. God bless you. Hands all over. God spoke to your heart. You say, preacher, God didn't speak to my heart. I'm going to tell you something. If God didn't speak to your heart, something's wrong. And maybe you need to get on your knees and get that right. You say, preacher, you're kind of getting personal today. Hey, this is serious. We're in serious straits here. A day like this, when the church house ought to be packed, it's not. And I can't do it alone. You can't do it alone. We can't. We've got to get together and do it. And God's got to do it. Every day, some news comes across the waves that shocks us when we thought we couldn't be shocked. Father, we pray that you'd bless the invitation. Work in our hearts. Draw us closer to you in Jesus' name. Let's stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. If God spoke to you as a man, where are you? Say, preacher, I'm not exactly where I ought to be. Well, you ought to get on your knees. Get on your knees. Thank you. see you today. Happy Father's Day, guys. And there's some donuts and coffee out there. Please go out and drink it and eat it, because I don't need it. Amen. 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 Good to see you. Let's close in prayer. Brother Frank, close for us. Amen. Amen.